A fascinating disparity can be noted between something like our sense of how many, as we would say, bad people there are in the world. How many selfish people, how many greedy people, how many narcissistic people, how many low lives or low lives and whatnot there are in the world. And any subjective report of such, meaning, let's say that, for example, there's a video and it says how to spot a narcissist. Those videos seem to be quite common, right? 10 signs of a narcissistic individual. Let's say the video has 1 million views and 100,000 likes. Now, statistically speaking, it is very likely, in fact, it is virtually certain that some percent of the individuals that watch the video are what would be called by others narcissistic. And yet if we polled the million people that watched it and the 100,000 people that liked it and maybe commented and said, oh, I know plenty of narcissistic people, what percent of them would say this video was about me? If we're getting about percent, we can ask how many people would say it is about them. And the likely answer is zero. Perhaps somebody as a reverse psychology or as a pun or something like this would say, yeah, this is me. Or somebody's proud of being narcissistic, meaning puts a positive spin on it, like me, I'm so glamorous. But aside from that, it's in all likelihood going to be zero people that will say that video is about me. Yeah, that's extremely unlikely. And in fact, if we were to poll all people all together in the world, and we know there for a fact, right? It's not just a subset of individuals that watch a video. We know for a fact that in the whole world, there are millions and millions of individuals that fit into each negative category. We make a category of narcissistic people. There's going to be millions of people under that category. Psychopaths, millions. Sociopaths, millions. To use the commonly used terms. Greedy individuals, millions. Violent, selfish, destructive, millions. And yet if we then pass around subjective reports, are you yourself one of these things? Are you greedy? Are you selfish? Are you a bad person? Again, aside from special circumstances, nobody would say, that's me. Nobody. Right? Which is incredible. What can account for that? So we can give some general kind of answers. I'm confirmation bias, I'm blind to myself, this or that, but we can also strive to provide a technical sound answer and then see how it works out practically. To do that, we can ask, what is the nature of a negation? So, for example, if I say, right now I'm in a room, let's say, right, and it's not a zoo or something, and consequently, likely, there's no, say, giraffe in the room. There's no elephant in the room. There's no mountain in the room. What is the nature of such positive negations? It seems obvious enough. Well, I know what it means. There's no giraffe in the room. But what does it mean that there is no giraffe in the room? In what way is there positively a nothing, a negation? What does that mean? In the room, there's also not then trillions of other objects, so they're all positively not there. Oh, but they're just not there. But what does it mean? So what is not there? Well, so something is there. How do we work that out? So here, if we analyze what we mean, it would seem that what we mean is that we must mean by the term that is negated, in our example, giraffe, a positive reality that we are conceiving of. And at the same time, we are perceiving that which we are perceiving, and all of it differs from that which we are conceiving. Put plainly, in my mind, I know what I mean by giraffe. Either I'm visualizing it, or I just have a general sense of what that would look like. And at the same time, I see all of that which I see, for example, in my room, four walls, a roof, hopefully, not guaranteed, but maybe, the floor, other objects in my room, everything that I see with my eyes, perceptually differs from that which I mean by the term giraffe. And that translates into the positive negation. There is no giraffe in my room. And yet the only realities that exist, which would be the punchline, are positive realities. A giraffe exists, and everything in my room exists. And the negation comes from the contrast. It is not that there is a positive object, as is the giraffe, and as are the objects in my room. Such that is meant by is no. We get the point? There is a giraffe. There's something that is meant by the term giraffe. There are the objects in my room. The desk, say, the bed, the table. All of that exists. The term giraffe refers to something existent. But is no only refers to that contrast of positively existing realities. At risk of being imprecise, we can say it does not refer to anything other than that. It doesn't refer to a non-existent something, which again is speaking loosely, but we get the point. It only refers to positive realities and simply that contrast of positive realities. Now, that being so, as it concerns the question of motivation, as it concerns the question of action, what is it possible to pursue? If there are only positive realities, if by negations we mean just that, a contrast of positive realities, another obvious example, it is not raining on a sunny day, it's because I know what raining means. It refers to a positive reality, for example, the experience of wetness and of the sound of rain. And simultaneously to that, my experience is such that differs from that which I mean by the term raining. That constitutes the statement, it is not raining. But all of those realities positively exist. The rain exists and the sunny day exists. The perception exists, the conception exists. Now, again, if there are only positive realities, it follows that we can only pursue positive realities. In other words, we can only pursue that which is, and insofar as to be is good, and to be good is to be, we can only pursue the good. Whatever it is that we are pursuing. And the question then arises, how is it that we can amount to what we amount to, which is not good? Right? How come we can be destructive? How come our lives can appear to others and ourselves as being so very far from good? In other words, if I can only pursue good, if I cannot pursue evil directly, I cannot pursue bad and a negation directly, how does evil and how does bad result? So here are a number of angles to take. One would be to ask as to the general nature of evil. What is the logical existential opening, so to say, that permits evil? And here what makes it tricky would be just what we said, right? Or along those lines. If by the term evil was meant a reality that is co-equal with good, then it cannot be what we currently mean by evil, because it would just be another option. So for example, if I go to the ice cream shop and I want to pick out an ice cream flavor, and there's two flavors, chocolate and vanilla, I can't without citing something further, maybe a cost difference or an allergy or whatnot, but just from that's the isolated situation. Chocolate and vanilla, what would it mean to say it is good to pick chocolate and evil to pick vanilla, or vice versa? It makes no sense. Those are equal options. Pick what you want. It's a preference. So if evil was a positive reality, then it would not be evil. It would be another option along with good. Here's good and here's evil. So the whole kind of thing would seem to be that evil is not a positive reality. The only positive reality is good, and evil can only result inadvertently. Right? We can hopefully work out some of the details, but from the possible details, but it can only result inadvertently, and it can only thus necessarily contradict our own innermost desires and our own innermost nature. What does that mean specifically? So asking again, what is the logical opening that permits evil? We said it's complicated because there can only apparently be good. So how can evil result? It would seem that there must necessarily be a clash between apparent good and true good. There has to be some element of deception in my understanding of things that could allow me to use the freedom and the intelligence and the volition that I have to go for the apparent good and not the true good. A simple example of that would be million examples, and I'm working towards some substantive goal. I want to finish this project at school or at work. Relatively speaking, that's my truer good. Obviously, not the final sense, but relatively speaking, I want to get an A on this test. The student thinks, right, I want to fulfill this deadline and not get fired. That's my truer good. It's a more substantive good. And yet, on the way to trying to fulfill that truer good, there's all these apparent goods on the wayside. For example, watching TV, going on social media, watching stupid videos, just doing nothing, twiddling my thumbs, right? Going somewhere when it's a deadline, right? So if I go and do that and I procrastinate and I go on social media for 3 hours when in an hour I have to submit something for work, for school, is it because I'm favoring a reality other than good? No, right? I'm favoring a positive reality. For example, pleasure. For example, the reduction of stress. Something like that. It is just that, in this situation, the apparent good contradicts my truer good, which is to submit the assignment or whatever it is. And I want to lose some weight and become healthier. I deem that to be my truer, more substantive good. On the way to doing that over the year, say, there's so many apparent goods. For example, this slice of cheesecake when I know I shouldn't eat it, this junk food, this opportunity to sleep in and rest and enjoy myself a little bit more. So all of these apparent goods, which stand, as it happens, in contradiction with what I take to be my truer good. So the same kind of dichotomy would seem to apply in the largest sense as well. But here, the apparent good would be my apparent self. And my true good could be thought of perhaps as, we could say, our true self. That can sound a little bit corny if we misunderstand what is meant. We could say reality, something like that. Meaning, in order for there to be the possibility of evil, it does seem necessary that I, as a self-active, sentient self, have a sense of self that makes a variety of claims on me, such that stand in contradiction with my truer good, which could be something like the attainment of my truer self or of reality. Again, we have to properly understand the terms. So on one universal level, those claims would be physiological, right? I can understand how I'm not synonymous with, say, my hand, right? I can lose my hand, maybe be spared, and I'll still be me. And yet, while my hand is attached to my body, it makes a variety of claims on me. If I put it on a hot stove, I'll know, right, that I don't like this. It's too cold, it's too hot. I can understand that my stomach is not synonymous with me. It's a tool of mine. I need it to survive, but it's not me or all of me, maybe somebody would say, right? But we understand it's not. I'm at least a little bit wider than my stomach, no pun intended, right? And yet my stomach makes a variety of claims on me. I'm hungry, right? We can imagine it saying, and we feel it saying, so to speak. I'm full, I'm hungry, and so forth. Just so with the various sources of pleasure concerning the body and the other physiological needs. So we say that the natural, untutored intuition is that essentially the body is me, right? All of these claims are mine. It's not that. They're not external to me, right? Should we say. It's me that is hungry. It's me that is thirsty. It's me that wants pleasure and so forth. And to that we add on our psychology, which grows from cradle on up. That too makes a variety of claims on us. I want to be happy. I want to be satisfied. I need pride. I need respect. I need to be the center of things. I need to satisfy the particular contours and kind of particular claims of my psychology. So that too I take to be myself. So here we see, and yet also the same as with the body, being that, you know, let's say today I am a person that it's absolutely necessary that I have control, or I am controlled, that I'm submissive, or that I'm dominant, that I'm passive, or that I'm aggressive, or passive-aggressive, that I'm introverted and I'm extroverted, and this is what I need to be happy, and this is what I need other people to be like and to treat me like. And yet I can recall, if I take the time, maybe, let's say I'm 20, 10 years ago, you know, I'm 30, maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I'm 100, maybe 90 years ago, 80 years ago, 85, whatever it might be, I can recall a time when I wasn't yet formed like that. And I was very different. I didn't have those claims, or at least all of them. I had different claims and somewhat different psychology. So also, I can't be synonymous with my psychology. Otherwise, how could it change? What then remained the same? How come I can say that I was once 10 and wanted this and that and felt myself to be a 10-year-old, and now I'm 100 and I feel very different? The I would then seem to not be synonymous with that which has changed. So we see that we are presented with this apparent self, right? These apparent interests, these apparent goods, and that is what seems to open up logically the opportunity for evil. Why? Because I can, using my freedom, using my volition, using my intelligence, I can either favor my apparent self, and especially unjustly and pathologically. Obviously, it would not be meant to eat and to use the restroom, that's bad. Certainly not. But in a pathological, unjust way, for example, I want the last TV, and I'm going to fight these other people that also want the TV on sale, and then I'm going to grab it and run. I want this stuff from the store and without paying for it, and I'll take it. I wouldn't want that done to me, but too bad. I'm more important. I don't like being offended, but I offend others. I don't like, again, being stolen from, but I steal from others. I don't like being insulted and offended and snob, but I do it to others. And so forth and so on. Every time that I do that, I favor a good, but it's an apparent good. It would be like, again, I need to submit my assignment for work or for school, and I'm favoring my apparent good of procrastinating and watching videos for the second or third hour in a row. It's not because I want anything other than good, but it is that I am choosing the wrong good in favor. And just so here, my real good then would be something like, understood properly, finding my true self, say, finding reality, finding that which really does exist, finding true and lasting happiness and satisfaction. That would be my true good. And my apparent good would be satisfying all of these claims of my apparent selfhood in each improper, unjust satisfaction of which solidifies that selfhood and makes it harder and harder to ever outgrow and out mature. We see, after a career of favoring the apparent good, an individual that has spent his or her life focusing on his or herself, being self-centered, being self-idolatrous, we see what a piece of work say results. And that's assuming that the psyche in question did not have any really pathological weaknesses that resulted in evident insanity, in evident, in extreme degradation, but even just within a normal range. And here, hopefully, we can at least a little bit grasp the logic of it, and that would be that aforementioned, seemingly necessary kind of fact that the only opening for evil would be that selfishness, that self-centeredness, that choosing of self over something higher than oneself. It is also a good. For example, if I get the last TV on sale, it is a good of some sort. I got the last TV. If I go and I satisfy my urge to put somebody else down, to say something mean to another. It isn't good. It feels good in the moment. If I go and I satisfy the claims of pride and self-idolatry, it's sort of good, right? It feels good again, and that's what I feel like I need psychologically. I need to, again, control or be controlled. I need power or powerlessness, whatever it might be. So it's a sort of good. And it ultimately, it leads to what's not good. And that would be something like that ensalement in my apparent self, which does not really exist. I want to ultimately exist. I want to feel secure in my selfhood. We applied onto our apparent self, our apparent good, that looks like having the best insurance and having several locks on one's door and protection and going to the doctor all the time and all kinds of things, right? Because I want to exist. I don't want to not exist. So being that is the case, the ultimate punishment is being ensealed, ensnared, trapped in apparent selfhood that does not really exist, in a mirage, in an illusion of pride, of vanity, of egoism, and all of that, which I know on some level is nothing, and yet I'm stuck with it, right? And that's really the punishment here, one of the punishments, right, of evil. So we asked initially, how is it that we see so much bad in the world and we can identify so many people that are every shade of bad, the greedy, the narcissistic, the sociopathic, the this and the that, and yet nobody will come forward and say, yes, that is me. Here, the technically sound answer could be something like this. Nobody comes forward to say, I favor bad. I favor nothing for its own sake, because nobody does that. There's not a single person that ever has been, is or will be, that can possibly, even for a moment, favor bad for its own sake. What is the technical proof of that? It's the aforementioned epistemic and existential status of negations. Negations concern positives. It is just their contrast that constitutes the negation. There is no elephant in the room. There is no giraffe in the room. It is not raining. All of those realities exist. It's that contrast that constitutes the is not part. Therefore, that in itself is not a positive object that can be favored. Therefore, it is impossible to favor anything other than positive objects, than goods. Therefore, nobody ever has done that, because it's impossible per the present reasoning, which does seem to be sound. So the negation, the nothingness, the destruction results from favoring the apparent good over a real good. And that is what other people see externally and consequently call bad. And yet, because that does not line up with anybody's inner experience, nobody will come forward and say that I am bad. I'm the bad one. And let's offer some examples and really understand more so what is meant. So I say that somebody who's definitely bad is a genocidal, violent tyrant that simply destroys and kills and just for that, right? And yet, if I myself am that genocidal, violent tyrant, in my mind, not only in my mind, in reality, I am pursuing some form of apparent good. I want to feel powerful and secure and safe, and I have to take out these enemies, and I have to perpetrate maybe this genocide, because those people that I'm trying to extinguish are evil themselves, and they're a threat to me. I'm pursuing the good, but I'm pursuing the apparent good, and it is in contradiction with the more real good, which would be something like pursuing policies conducive to humanity and peace and goodness and all of that, so far as that is politically possible. From the outside, you are narcissistic. You're vain. From the inside, as a narcissist, am I pursuing nothing? Am I pursuing the mirage of pseudo self-assertiveness that externally appears? No, I'm pursuing, say, safety, a sense of safety or security, or, again, what is evil in itself, that self-idolatry, right? I'm choosing myself over reality, over and above me. I'm abusing my freedom, but that in itself is a good. I'm pursuing something positive because that's the only thing that I can do. So when I hear a video that the sociopath, the narcissist is somebody that's just bad, just to be bad, is just somebody that pursues the bad, that pursues nothing for nothing's sake, just to hurt and just to spite, I know that's not me, and I'm correct, it's not me, it's nobody from the inside point of view, but externally, it is plenty of us. You're very greedy. It's very clear to me. You're very greedy. And yet, now I'm the greedy person. I'm the one accused of being greedy. From my point of view, I'm pursuing a good. Right? What do you mean I'm greedy? I just need I need to get mine, right? What do you want me to starve? What do you want me to be insecure and have less money or something like this? Right? You're very mean. You're a big bully. You just try to hurt me just to hurt me. Okay, I'm the one that's a big bully. I'm the one that's very mean. Well, I'm pursuing feelings of power, or I feel insecure and uncertain in my position, and I'm trying to reassert it. I'm pursuing some kind of good. So we say that far from being a justification of evil, such an account, which again, its merit seems to be that it is true, and not because it's one option out of many that we can favor, right? And then maybe there's another option, such as that evil really does exist as a positive reality, and it is possible to pursue nothing for its own sake or whatnot. But insofar as the account given is along the right lines, it's not a vindication or justification of evil. On the contrary, it indicts every one of us. Why? Because while I think that evil is the pursuit of a negation for its own sake, just destruction and violence and selfishness and narcissism, just for nothing, just for that reason alone, I am free to project onto others. I am free to expel all of the negative elements out of my self-concept and then throw all of those negative elements onto any and all others whom I don't like, right? Or who stand against me, or something like this. And this is the status quo. In the untutored state of nature, I'm incapable of, of cognizing my own evil. But that's because I have a point, right? Because to myself, I'm good. I'm pursuing the good. And it takes some subtlety of thought and some explanation to understand in which way I'm evil. I'm not evil in the sense that I'm pursuing nothing. And that would be why, right? I can't understand that I'm evil. You speak to even, let's say, an individual who's synonymous with evil in the minds of most. Some vicious serial killer. And yet, if I myself am that vicious serial killer, what am I pursuing? I'm pursuing pleasure. Or I'm pursuing feelings of power. I'm pursuing gratification. I'm pursuing some kind of good. So when I hear that I'm evil incarnate, I can maybe intellectualize and objectify myself and say, yeah, I guess, wow, I did that. That's horrible. That's evil. As we hear sometimes from reformed criminals, or when some time has gone by, or when they need to pretend in court or whatnot. And yet to myself, I know it's not so that I pursue nothing. Right? I pursued something. I'm just me, and I'm just doing what feels good. So it's the ultimate indictment of us, because we see that we can no longer do that when we understand what evil is, or more so. And that would be something like the pursuit of apparent good over true good. Evil is extremely mundane. Right? We think somebody that's evil has horns and all they do is just, pursue evil all day long. And yet, no, when I see that I myself am evil, or externally I can be perceived as such and I'm evil to myself because I'm not favoring my true good, I see that it's extremely mundane, evil. It's as mundane as my day-to-day life is. Right? And on the day-to-day, whatever it is that I do, I probably spend most of my time doing regular things, eating, drinking, using the restroom, sleeping. Right? And insofar as I'm not pursuing my true good, I'm evil. Yeah, me, myself, and I, the very favorite face that looks back at me in the mirror. So here, evil can be then construed as something like a failure to favor the higher good over the lower good. In a isolated example, vis-a-vis the goal to submit my paper by midnight tonight for school for work, what would be so to say evil, quote unquote evil, would be anything that detracts from that goal. For example, going on the social media, watching the videos, and so forth. My goal is to lose 20 pounds. The cheesecake becomes evil relative to that goal. In the broader picture, my goal is to find my true self, so to say. My goal is to attain to my true being and my true happiness. That which is evil, then, vis-a-vis that goal, is everything that precludes that goal and makes it more difficult, which would be every instance of self-centeredness, of selfishness, of unjust pursuit, of self-interest, of the aggrandizement of my animality, and so forth. Every lie that I tell myself, every deceit that I tell myself, every time that I do something out of bad motives and I don't recognize it and I deny it and all that kind of stuff. Basically, my everyday mundane life, because it bars me from attaining to my own true good, which I must necessarily truly want, is evil. And the way to identify the evil within me would not be to wait until horns grow out of my head and until I look like some zombie or some cartoon villain, but to face the lies that I tell myself, the deceit that I engage in, the self-idolatry, the self-absolutization that I inevitably am engaging in, the lack of self-nullification, the lack of submission to something higher, the lack of any sense of reverence and devotion for truth and reality over and above myself. All of that is evil. All of that is stopping me from my own true good. And it may or may not translate to obvious evil externally. I burned down the house. I did something very bad. It may or may not translate to that. But it certainly translates to it by the way of my own self. I'm an evil for myself. The evil one, first of all, is evil for him or herself. I stop myself from attaining to my own true good. And from there, that's where the problems start as it concerns other people and as it concerns society and so forth. But first and foremost, if I'm evil, I'm evil to myself. I'm in a self-imposed hell. I'm in self-imposed wretchedness. So I need to recognize that. I need to stop fleeing from myself. I need to stop defining evil as something that which nobody can ever say that it is from their own point of view, such as a pursuit of nothing, a pursuit of darkness and just bad stuff for its own sake. No, evil is falsehood. Evil is the parent good. Evil is favoring my parent self. Evil is self-idolatry. Evil is self-centeredness. It's all the things that I have. It's very mundane. And the quicker that I understand that, the less evil, hopefully, that I will be as soon as possible. Thank you for listening.